This week on Uncover the Human, we are joined by Sam Moore. Sam founded the company, which is a tequila mixer company, Hazlo, which is spelled H-A-Z-L-O, which is actually Spanish, as he explains, for do it, Hazlo. Sam has a wonderful vulnerability about him where he talks about how he came to starting his company, and he's really very honest about how the ups and downs of starting it, and it feels very accurate to so many entrepreneurial stories I've heard. I hope it resonates with everybody who's out there starting out, getting new things going, and really just enjoying living with passion and kind of finding their own values and how that guides good business decisions, good company decisions, and a better and more fulfilling life. Please enjoy. Welcome to Uncover the Human, where every conversation revolves around enhancing all the connections in our lives.
Whether that's with our families, coworkers, or even ourselves.
When we can be our authentic selves, magic happens.
This is Christina Amigoni.
And this is Alex Cullimore.
Let's dive in.
Authenticity means freedom.
Authenticity means going with your gut.
Authenticity is bringing 100% of yourself, not just the parts you think people want to see, but all of you.
Being authentic means that you have integrity to yourself.
It's the way our intuition is whispering something deep-rooted and true.
Authenticity is when you truly know yourself. You remember and connect to who you were before others told you who you should be.
It's transparency, relatability, no frills, no makeup, just being.
Well, hello and welcome back to this episode of Uncover the Human. This week we are joined with our guest, Sam Moore, who founded the tequila mixer company, Hazlo. Welcome to the podcast, Sam.
Thank you, Alex. It's great to be here. I'm excited for today.
Welcome.
We're really excited to have you here. One of the reasons we wanted to talk to you is that you had this really interesting philosophy in starting this business. You kind of designed it around building a business as a human, and you said you kind of got this inspiration from the CEO of Colombe Coffee, La Colombe Coffee. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about that, what it means to like build a business as a human, and what that's meant to you, if you wouldn't mind introducing people to the concept.
Yeah, well, like I said, really excited to be here. And it's kind of funny how we started, we talked about this serendipitously in our own personal conversations. And then lo and behold, you guys have a podcast called Uncover the Human. So it worked out pretty well. It's something that I was able to go to the BevNet conference, which is a major beverage conference, kind of a national conference that was held in LA. Back in 2019, pre-COVID times, I was able to attend the session that was the founders of La Colombe Coffee and Chobani Greek Yogurt Company. And it was actually Todd Carmichael, who's the CEO of La Colombe, where I honestly can't even remember the question he was asked, but he started diving into what it meant to him to build a business and how you're not just building a company, you're building a human, and you're building this person that has so many different facets. They have a personality, they have ethics and everything like that. And the question that he posed to the audience was like, why not just create a good human? I just vividly remember turning to the person next to me who I had no idea who they were. We just were all sitting at this random panel together, but just being, wow. Like I'd never heard anything articulated in that fashion about building a business. And it really took hold of me. And so that was end of 2019, and I was about, let's say, 6 months into figuring out what Hazlo was, or I should say a year and 6 months. It was 2018 that I started this thing. And that whole time, I was so wrapped up in the product. Like, let's create this tequila mixer. Let's build this thing. And that's not easy to do in and of itself. So the frustration was getting so overwhelming. And I was, you know, not even enjoying a lot of the building a company. But as soon as it was, this concept was introduced of building a human, and a human, like the product is just one extension of it. There's so much more that the company represents and everything there. And that just got me really excited about what the potential I had to build and what I could provide to others and create for the sake of others beyond just a great tasting, delicious mixer that I know Christina was enjoying not too long ago.
Yeah, it's awesome. Everybody should buy it. And I drink it by itself with ice.
We're into the plug section really early to this time.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad you picked up on the handoff I had there.
I should have brought a little sample because I still have one left. And it's super fast delivery. So we're definitely sponsoring this officially.
Yeah,
or unofficially both.
Our delivery guy, he's one of a kind.
He is. He even texts you when he says, I'm on my way. I just left it outside.
Waves to the Ring camera and just like, hey, I put it right here. Then speeds away because I have to get back to my other job that I'm doing as well. So
Denver metro area people, order this. Super easy on the website.
This is now the official tequila mixer of Siamo. The person that we're putting together as a company likes tequila mixers.
Really, really likes tequila mixers.
Hey, we can talk sponsorships.
Yes.
You know, maybe not on the recording, but we'll
discuss. Only Oslo tequila mixers. Yeah. Not the rest.
Only so that's the official one now.
Yeah, exactly.
So this human that you've been building, can you describe it?
I think it's one of those things where it's not to the point where I understand the human enough to really articulate the aspects of it. You know, not to keep referring back to the previous conversations we had, but how we started talking is I kind of posed to the LinkedIn audience that I'm thinking about hiring some people and you know, really want to be intentional about the culture that I create, because that's a large piece of this human that I'm building. And what we kind of discussed, right, is that the challenge that I was having was separating myself from the business, right? Was how do my values differ from the business values, or should they, or, you know, all these, it was kind of this revolving door of questions that came from it. And Christina, you made the great point of we're all one person, who I am personally versus who I am running this business versus who I am in all these other areas of my life is essentially the same. Trying to delineate from who I am and what my values are as a person to who the business is or what the business's values are is almost trying to create two identities. That's just a recipe for disaster. Long way to say, like, as I reflected on that and was thinking about what this business is, like right now, it is just me. So the business values are my values. And, you know, the way that the business is run is how I run my life and try to make decisions in the best way possible. I'm also still trying to figure out who I am and all these different things too. So if you were to ask me to describe the business and the values, I would be trying to reach, you know, for straws of what I am and who I am. So I think for right now, it's a beautiful mess of a lot of things that we're figuring out as we go.
I like what you said. You said you weren't necessarily enjoying it as much because you'd focused so much on like product development. At this point, you got introduced to this idea. And you know, by the time we were talking to you, you had the passion, you had the excitement. So could you describe a little bit about some of the difference and some of the different ways you've been approaching product development versus this more, let's build a human idea?
Yeah. And I think it was a natural progression, right? Because this is my first venture, first time doing anything in the entrepreneurial space. And so my first attempt was the business is the product. Like that's the only thing that matters. Let's create an amazing product and do it that way. One, it is really challenging to make a product. It is coming from the software space where it's really challenging to make a software product, but there's kind of like an iteration of sorts where you're writing code, you're testing it, you're doing all these different things. And with a physical product, like a mixer, it's chemistry, it's food science. You know, you're someone's in a lab, let's put some things together. Try it. That was terrible. Okay, let's try like a whole different, and there's that iteration process. But I also coincidentally have no chemistry or food science background. So it was a lot of hitting walls and not able to see it. And with me kind of like judging my success as starting a business on how well I was creating this product, it made for a lot of just like spiraling thinking I'm failing, right? Like just like this overwhelming cloud of I'm bad at running a company. This is not how it's supposed to go. When this concept and this philosophy, and I think the timing of it being introduced in my life was so perfect, because I was 2019 and was a very interesting year for me personally. I decided to move from San Francisco back to Chicago, spend the majority of that year living in my parents' house, just, you know, trying to figure things out. Then, you know, come August, I make the decision that like, let's go test this out and let's see if I can build this company right now. 2019 was a year of personal growth, but in like a very siloed way, where I was just like eating right, working out, doing all the things that I was checking the boxes of what someone does to get like this personal growth. But when this concept of like, there's so many facets to it. And it's this philosophy. It's, you know, the way you approach life, the way you have conversations. It was almost like that siloed scope got widened. I started approaching everything in my life a little bit differently. And so the easiest thing that happened is I stopped judging myself based off of how well this product is being produced when I wasn't even the person that was making it. I was like trying to find somebody who had the food science background or chemistry. And I was letting myself judge myself based off of how somebody else created a product. And it was just so disjointed and discombobulated and, you know, led to, again, a lot of like suffering and self-doubt. But as soon as I started thinking about it as human, then it's like, okay, regardless of how the product goes, how am I talking to people? How am I conducting myself? How hard am I working at this, but also how hard am I working at being the best person I am, being the best son I can be, all these different layers. And like that in and of itself, making up who Sam is, the human, to then translate to Oslo, the human. Lo and behold, a month later, that's when the formula was finished. And it just kind of like, it was that alignment piece where all the dominoes started falling in. Things came together. And again, quick shout out to my formulator, Eden, the head of the mixology department at the Violet Hour. She made an incredible product, and finding her was a part of that path to self-discovery in 2019 that's ongoing. But it was incredible how having my scope widened and seeing it a little bit differently ended up completing this thing of finishing the product that I was judging myself based off up until then.
That's such a wonderful approach to not get stuck on the company's the product. Because it's true, the company's not the product. Also because it's going to change if you actually want to keep growing and doing everything that like a human life throws at you. Things are going to happen and the company's going to have to adapt. And so if we're stuck on this, like, but this is the product and everything is the product, now any change becomes a huge moment of resistance, a huge moment of trying to stop change, trying to stop the world from turning, really.
It's almost like an identity crisis, right? Where if you're defining it by that, any change that needs to be made, it just makes you question everything up until that point. And you kind of unravel at the seams. But if you're not solely putting your identity in this one place and everything there, you're much more malleable and agile to navigate it better.
Your journey mirrors so many that I've seen, including my own, including Christina's, including Rachel, who is also started a business. We've all gone through a very similar process, and it wasn't really even intentional. It's just you end up very much kind of either associating your identity to, you know, what you're doing, and you have that, like, in the metaphor of the business being a person, associating the business to the product is putting your value, everything that it is, externalized, right? I mean, it is this thing rather than the entity and the living thing that is the business. It is the actual product, right? Which is more of a byproduct, so to speak, of the business. I've seen this play out many times, and I really like your description of it because it just resonates very deeply with the idea of, like, you focus on these things that are external, you feel like your identity is external, and it takes that moment of like, just, you know, I'm really not happy with this. And I've felt it. I think, Christina, we went through this a little bit when we were transitioning and creating more of a Siamo. You really kind of boil it down to basics. And I really liked how you described it as being like this siloed approach to personal growth, because that feels like a really important part of, I've got to take this one down to basics. And when you do, you can expand much faster because you're operating from a totally different foundation than you were before.
Absolutely. And I think it's, you know, to keep expanding on what like my personal journey was during this time, I fell in love with the story that I had of, I'm this guy somewhat successful in the software sales realm that had an idea for a tequila mixer, and, you know, I'm doing these things. And I put so much stock in the ability to say hey, I've got this mixer brand that I'm making, but oh, don't worry, I'm also like successful, and I, you know, have making money. I'm not just a struggling entrepreneur, and almost like was trying to elevate myself personally or my opinion of myself through this story that I would tell internally and externally. And that was such a siloed piece where it's like, if I'm just the guy that works in software that has a tequila mixer company that he's building, right? Like, it wasn't even like I have a tequila mixer company. Anytime someone would say I had a tequila mixer company, I'll be like, oh, not yet. Like, you know, like it's an idea. We're working on it. Because I wanted to conserve this, like, I wouldn't judge myself off of having a company, because then boom, automatic fail, that pass fail test. But I had this whole identity built up around there. And it created one, a lot of just suffering and really judging myself based off of how I thought other people were going to perceive me in this way I would present myself. But it also kept me in that rut of just being the guy that was like, had an idea that he was working on as opposed to actually doing the company, you know, like having a company, building a product, right? Like I still had a company, to go back to this whole human thing. There was a company there that was, it was formed, it was forming, you know, everything there, and we were productizing. But I never wanted to acknowledge that, because that would mean that, one, I have to like be the guy that has a company, and, you know, I didn't feel like I had like met that stature yet. It's an interesting process, the way that the human brain works and articulates these stories to make us feel more comfortable about where we're at and where we're going.
It almost sounds like you gave yourself permission to create Oslo and be the creator of it.
Absolutely. I think so. The turning point really came in like September, October of 2019. So I moved from San Francisco back to Chicago. I did it because I was starting this business. I was doing it. And July hits, right? So we're in July. I moved in early February. So actually it's a similar time frame to when I moved to Denver, and here we'll get to that part too. But I was working with this person in LA who was building the product. It just wasn't working. We weren't seeing eye to eye. There was just a lot of miscommunication. I ended up like breaking the partnership. You know, we go our separate ways. And I spent 3 months kind of just like floating in the ether. And was talking to a bunch of other people that were, you know, formulators as well. And it just, I would get to the point of like, here's the contract, here's like everything. And I would just, in my gut, was like, this is going to be the exact same situation as the last one. And they're saying they know what I'm talking about, everything, but there's no, it just feels like it's going to be the same situation. So I just would choose not to go in with them. And then September hits. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess this isn't happening. Like I just basically threw my hands in the air and was like, why? I'm not going to keep beating my head against the wall when this just doesn't feel right. And I move in with like a couple friends in Chicago with like a really short term, like 3 months. And I was going to move to Colorado and just ski bum it for 6 months for the ski season, because, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew I didn't want to be working in software anymore. Business didn't seem like it was going to work out. And so to go back to what you said, to kind of like trigger this, right, is I allowed, like gave myself permission. It's okay now that you aren't building this business. It's okay that everything's not perfect and this thing you wrote out in a script is not, it's not going according to the script. And I get a text or I get an email from Eden. I mentioned her earlier, but we had spoken on the phone in June, like when I was working on this formulator with the other formulator prior to Ted parting ways. We had a quick phone conversation. We were trying to set up coffee, and she's in the beverage world. She works at the Violet Hour, but also does a lot of other things within the beverage community of Chicago. And I get a text in early October, like, hey, I'm free on Thursday. Let's grab coffee. And instantly I'm like, okay, there's no way I'm going to this meeting. Like the whole premise of this was like me building this business and us talking as entrepreneurs. And I already, like, I put my hands in the air. I thought I waved the white flag. Doesn't everyone know I'm not an entrepreneur anymore? Like, why are you contacting me about this stuff? And I like, everything told me not to go, but it was like a 4 month buildup that I just was like, you know what? We're going to do it. Let's just see what happens. I'll go have a coffee with her, you know, worst case scenario, I spend 30 minutes, maybe make a new friend, you know, we'll go our separate ways. Sit down to coffee, and she just like very casually like asked me how things are going. And I legitimately just reflexively start spilling everything. Like 20 minutes nonstop Sam talking of how everything's just not working. You know, I want to make this thing. No one can make it for me. Like, I'm so frustrated. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm moving to Denver or Colorado. Like, it's just this whole, you know, 20 minute thing. And she just let me go, like didn't interrupt it for a second. And then finally, like I come to a close. She, you know, pauses and looks at me and is like, Sam, first, just want to say as an entrepreneur to entrepreneur, I empathize with you. This is super challenging and tough. And what you're going through, to go back to what Alex said, like it's really similar to what a lot of other people have gone through. So I'm here for you. Also, I don't know if you knew this, but I have a beverage company or a consulting company that does beverage formulation. I love your idea. I think I can make a great product for you. Do you want to go? I remember just sitting back and like my first instinct being like, why did you not say something sooner? Like, why did you let me just go for this long and not say something? But from that meeting, right? So like my plan was to do a couple months in Chicago, go to Colorado, ski bum, and just kind of like, whatever. Like I just had no plan whatsoever. And within a 30-minute coffee meeting, I had almost all of the questions that I've been asking about this business, this world, answered. And it was no guarantee, right? We still had to like go through the legalities and the contract negotiations and everything. But I remember just walking out of that coffee meeting. I'm getting chills right now. So I'm like saying, like, I remember walking out of that coffee meeting and choosing to like not go home or not take an Uber and like just walk for 30 minutes just to like decompress on what just happened. And it was one of the first moments in my life where like I actually felt I was like present in the moment, get caught up in my head and everything going on. And I just remember walking home and putting on some music and just like shaking my head like that really didn't just happen. Like, you know, just like that, there's no way that this is how this is going to go. It didn't follow my script. So like, this can't be how this is working, right? But it all ties back to that. Like, I just gave up on making sure an outcome was perfect. And I gave up on following my script and being open to throwing away the new script I wrote. You know, I was like, hey, ski bumming in Colorado is going to be amazing, but I probably shouldn't leave right now. Like, I probably should see this through and see where we're going with everything. And so that was a long, long way to say it definitely was like just me releasing control and giving myself permission to fail and to just kind of find a new path that's not just based off of the script that I'd written.
I'd love to explore it more and figure out if there's any research on it, but it feels like that is such a common storyline of like that the moment, and it's literally, it seems like it takes often less than like a month between being like, all right, this isn't for me, I'm changing my story up, this is all, you relinquish control. And so often, and I don't know how this seems to almost magically happen, so often that is when things start to reline up. Suddenly all these external things that have been just basically seem like you're banging your head against the wall suddenly pull back together. And I don't understand how or why. And I would love to understand the research on if it's just all mindset difference. You know, we come across so much differently when we have let go of that control. Maybe it's just so much easier for people to engage with us. But you've given a really great illuminating story of why stories and the stories we tell about ourselves are so important and what happens when we let that go and when we relinquish a little of the control and then find some of the answers that we were yanking on those reins to go find for so long.
I've like reflected on this a lot, honestly, replaying this meeting because it was too many things lined up perfectly from that 30-minute coffee meeting. And I think so much of it is that permission, right? It's kind of like putting your guard down. Like, I don't need to pretend anymore or put up this front. And when you allow your guard to be down, you're an authentic human being again. You can have empathy. You can articulate what's going on. And it's almost as if you're giving somebody else permission to be their authentic self too. And so I think in that moment when I just reflexively just said everything, right? Like I was not trying to impress her. I was not trying to come off as like this put together human being. I was just like the mess that is Sam, this like, you know, colossal, what is going on, fiery ball of whatever. And I think her seeing that, right? I think she saw that I wasn't trying to be something I'm not. And I was indirectly was just asking for help, just admitting like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I'm headed. And that's that. I don't have an and or a but or any finish to that sentence. I'm just lost. And that allows somebody to come in and be like, here, let me help you get to this next portion. And so I really think that if I had done anything other than just download and fully put everything out there, I think we would have casually had a, you know, small talk conversation about nothing, shaken hands, walked away, and that would be that.
I have so many thoughts about all of this. I'm trying to figure out if I can remember two of them. The other ones are going to go away. But on the giving ourselves permissions, or something that you, Alex, that you mentioned is like, why does it always happen that the minute we release, the answer comes or the solution comes or whatever it is that we're looking for, that we were holding on so badly. As soon as we are willing to walk away, it actually shows up. And I remember Deepak Chopra actually talked about that quite a bit in his books. I think it was about 15 years ago when I was listening to them. And he talked about this area, this time where you slip into the gap. And the gap, if you think about something like remembering the title of a movie or the name of an actor or the name of your third grade teacher, and you know it's on the tip of your tongue and it just doesn't quite come out. And the gap is the minute you're like, yep, giving up. I'm going to go get, you know, an Oslo in the fridge and make myself a tequila. And that's when you remember, as soon as you released this focus on wanting to remember it. So that's one thought. And of course, I forgot the other five that I had. The second one, which I'm going to say, because I do remember, it's I just listened to Simon Sinek's latest podcast episode. I think it was at the end of June on failure as entrepreneurs, especially. And I think it's with Sunil Gupta, I want to say. I hope that I pronounced the name right. And so Sunil is a serial failured entrepreneur. And then finally, you know, he became successful. But when he finally let go and realized what it was, the magic formula to become successful, was when he was invited as the keynote speaker to FailCon, which apparently it's a conference on failed startups. And that's when he was like, wait, I need to be the keynote speaker. I'm that famous now for failing at every startup I find. But he realized that the success came when he stopped trying to build businesses based on what he thought he needed to do and started focusing on what makes him come alive. And that was kind of where a lot of VCs and people that he was talking to finally also recognized was, the successful businesses are the ones that don't focus on the sales, the products, the whatever, you know, the market is going to take and how do I sell this and all these business stuff. They're the ones where the founders do what makes them come alive. And when you talk about your journey, all I could think of was like, oh my God, he's so alive. This is making him come alive.
I love that. And it's, I mean, not to dive directly into another story, but it reminds me so much of the decision I made to go forward as a craft mixer for tequila and be, you know, just only that. And I think still to this day, right? Like I would say two out of every three people that I tell like this business, this product I have and everything, they're like, so why just tequila? And, you know, they'll even be like, lime and mint, like, isn't that a mojito? Like, shouldn't this be with rum? You know, like it's like a natural conversation from there. And I think like leading up to, and you know, this was that moment in like at coffee or whatever, it sounds like this breakthrough. There was a lot more of just down. The journey did not stop there in terms of all the breakthroughs. But I just remember I would keep like hearing these things. It's like, okay, well, everyone can't be wrong, right? Like, if it's just a general mixer, that'd be great. And I would just change the way I was talking about things and the way I would describe it. And to your point, right? Like I noticed the reaction I would get from people was like the most benign, just mute thing where they'd be like, okay. And then, we just move on. I remember like thinking about that and be like, why does no one care about this anymore? Why is no one kind of like taking the bait? And it was because I was not reacting to it. Like it was coming out of my mouth as like this just very neutral thing that I was starting to kind of just say what I thought everyone else wanted to hear as opposed to what I wanted to say. It was a podcast that I heard that was the Tim Ferriss Show, one of my favorite podcasts. He did an interview with Seth Godin, really well-known author and blogger. But Seth Godin has this like amazing quote. And I actually like coincidentally have said this to like three friends in the last 24 hours. It's I'm going through some things right now too, that it's coming top of mind. But he says that everyone like approaches problems or like what to do with their life. And the question they pose is, if you could do anything, what would you do? And it's this very like open-ended where every single thing in the world is an option, where you're almost like overwhelmed with choices and, you know, probably just default to what's easiest or where you're already doing. It's like, this is fine. Like I'm good with doing this. But he argues that the way that like you should, or not you should, but like a better way to approach the problem is, if you were going to fail, no matter what, like no matter what you did, what path you took, or what approach you took, what would you still do anyway? And I remember hearing that again, as like similar, like wow moment to the Todd Carmichael thing where it's like, I want to go all in on being a tequila mixer. Like what? Like why? Who cares about this mixer company? Like this like general mixer company that just has no personality or no fire. When I talk about tequila, I get excited, and like that energy is something that people feed off of. So if I'm going to fail, no matter what, if this business is just going to go south, no matter what, I definitely don't want to go south as the mixer company that I thought everyone else wanted. I want to go all in on like the, what I created and where I was at. And that was another moment where I just like, I heard the podcast. I started talking to my dad and I just remember him like giving me a side eye and he's like, I think you're onto something. And like, that was just like, you know, another fire under my butt to keep moving in the direction.
Such a perfect example of exactly that. Just the moment you find that story for yourself. And I think you've hit the kind of nail on the head there. There is a bunch of just reflective energy on that. People aren't going to, we're all bombarded with products all day long. You see them on Instagram all day long. You see them on every website you've ever gone to. You see it on TV, ads, radio, whatever. You see 10,000 products sent your way. You can only really, you know, even just as like a physical amount of energy that you have, you can only respond to so many. It's way easier if it's something that is that engaging. And that's a really great explanation of why it helps so much to be invested in what you want to be doing. Like it's not just that that feels good. The reason that it ends up succeeding because that feels good, because that's where you're going to be able to produce the right amount of energy that people are going to respond to. They're going to want to see more about this. I mean, we got to learn a ton about tequila mixing and tequila mixers just through our first conversation with you. I mean, it's fascinating stuff. It's something you're very invested in, and it's very easy to have conversations with people who are excited about things. I mean, I think we can all relate to that experience of looking across the table and seeing that person with their face just lit up. Whatever it is, could be literally anything, and it's just so fun to be around. I think you've kind of touched on exactly why that ends up working out when you distill it down to something that is aligned with your values, aligned with something that you care about. So much easier to talk about, so much easier to get people on board with, just because it's there for you. You like it, it likes you. It's just a nice symbiotic relationship. I'd be curious to know in your own personal values that you've been kind of developing, and how have you infused that in Oslo? I mean, how's that journey been like? You've been kind of defining some of yourself. How have you been translating some of that? And with the open-ended caveat that we all know that like these things change, we are going to change, our businesses are going to change. So, you know, not to say that this has to be set in stone, but I'm just curious what the initial journey has felt like.
It's been a winding road, as these usually are. And I think I think just kind of to 1,000 feet up for the listeners, you're like, we're focusing in on the last couple of years, but I've kind of always been somebody just really interested in figuring out the best way to be myself, right? And a lot of that was just me trying to work really hard, checking the boxes that other people wanted and focusing a lot on external. And then there was kind of this progression to realizing like that I still feel terrible when I do the thing and succeed at what I think I'm supposed to be succeeding at. As that kind of this evolution was happening, you know, I'd have conversations with people about core values. And I remember like, I would be guessing at what core values they wanted me to say. Like that would be like where I was, like I would try to answer the question and what I thought they were thinking was like the most important core values. And that would end up with me just like probably like 40 different core values were said during this time. I can't even remember any of them. None of them were really personal to me. And it was when I started kind of trying to get to know myself, I was like reflecting on what are the areas that I think I need the most focus on? And not necessarily like what are my weaknesses, but I kind of saw core values as a way to like wake myself up to recognize where I needed to pay attention to and where I could best steer myself and avoid me making mistakes and falling into bad habits. And the first core value that came to mind was honesty. And it kind of like goes perfectly with what I was just saying, where I was answering questions based off of what I thought other people wanted to hear. And nothing about that was honest or truthful to who I was. I just remember a decision was made that I want to lead with honesty every second of every day and just kind of put myself out there. And so that was like the first pillar that was built. And just like having conversations with people and not to give more details on this. Like I was the type of guy that like I would get a 92 on a math exam. And depending on who I was talking to about that math exam, if I thought they did better than me, I would say like probably get a 95. If I thought they did worse than me, I would take it down to like an 82. It just to kind of like raise and lower levels based off of that. And I lived my life for, you know, whatever 20 some odd years like that. It was exhausting. It was so just taxing mentally and emotionally to constantly be just like morphing myself every second of every day. So that was the first kind of most important thing that made a decision that I just wanted to be honest at all times. Then came like, that was the only one that was really there. And I thought that was I think that was a pretty good, just like overarching value, but I actually took a values assessment. I can't remember the name of it, but it was for one of the previous companies I worked for. I think it's like based off of the 30 different values here, like the ones you score the highest in. The one that was like the overarching category was like love. And I remember just sitting like looking at that screen and being like, yeah, I love people. Like I love things. I love sports. I love to, you know, like there's most of, I'm a very kind of emotional, like love forward person. You ask any of my friends, I'm big hugger, big, you know, I want to embrace people. And to go based off of the honesty thing, like that felt true as like the second pillar to me. And then as I started filling it out and, you know, I didn't want to just pick on it. So we're getting to four. I guess I should have prefaced that. There's four total that I'm going to talk about. The next one, I just wanted to, still in that same vein of like how to live my life, how to just like focus my energy and attention. And I chose like a pretty general one, hard work. And so much of that built on the previous one of honesty, and that I played sports growing up. I've worked at several different jobs. I did school and everything. I never felt like I gave a 100% max effort at anything I did. It was like I would try. I would almost like try to cradle myself to failure and give myself an excuse as to why I didn't succeed in that moment. So I wanted to just focus. Let's just 100% max it. Like we're hardworking. We do our best at everything, no matter what, whatever that level is. And that kind of leads perfectly into my final one, which is courage. And just this, I think so much, and it's probably been interwoven through all of these, right? It's like the courage to be myself, the courage to just not try to do anything, the courage to try 100% and fail and be okay with it no matter what the outcome is. That is something that I feel like I lacked for a lot of my life. I was scared of failure. I was scared to be myself. I was afraid of being discovered as this fraud. But the courage, just saying that to myself every day, is like, today we're going to be courageous. Like let's go do something that otherwise in every other stage of my life, I probably would have opted out of or given myself some excuse as to why I didn't try or do something. Those are the core values that I recite to myself every morning and night. Like I follow like the Napoleon Hill money statement, and I say that to myself in the morning and night. And I remember when I would say the money statement before I had my core values figured out. And then I remember saying the money statement after the core values, like, okay, I'm going to get this money, but like only through living this way. Like these things have to be connected. It's a good consistent reminder for me on how I want to approach the day. And again, how I'd like to go back to the first thing we talked about, which is building the human, right? How I want to interact with everybody at all times.
It's such an important piece to do that work, to figure out what the values are. And it's interesting because we're big believers in using values to drive pretty much anything, life decisions, a company, how you interact with people, how you show up, how you figure out when you're not showing up as your best, and what's causing that. You know, I'm sure there's data and research out there, but it's way deeper than just a paper or a report or a scientific finding. It's like what you described is when you were not being honest, and honesty is one of your top values, and it's the first one you mentioned, so it is your top value, then it's the disturbance. It's that your life is not going the way it's supposed to be. Things are harder. You don't feel well. All these things happen. So that's the data. That's the information of why doing the values work is vital. And keep doing it. So it's like you said, it's not just a one-time thing. It's recite them every morning. See how I feel, you know, thinking about money with the values versus not. And then in the company, the company is the same way. And so when you have values that, as we all know, you know, a lot of times are nice and pretty and perfect words on websites and posters, but what are you actually doing? What's the human company doing to live by them? Is one team a value on a poster, but then everybody's siloed and can't talk to each other? Is honesty a value on the poster, and then we go and we oversell and underdeliver? You can't do that because that disturbance becomes the energy of the company. And people feel that, don't want to work in that, even when they think they do, they really don't.
And I think it ties back perfectly to what Alex was talking about earlier, about that energy that you feel when you're talking to someone, they're being true to who they are. And you know, for your example of the, I think we've all worked at companies where there's, we have these pretty pristine, like you mentioned the poster, like they say all these amazing values and just no idea what it means, zero clue. And like, how do I act in that arena? And that disturbance you're talking about, I think it shows up in so many ways where, whether it's, you know, me as a former salesperson trying to sell a product and I don't necessarily know, like I don't understand the values. So how do I know how to articulate the product and really have enthusiasm about it and be authentic with it? And then also from like an intercompany type of a environment, like how do I interact with my coworkers? How do I know how to hold somebody else accountable? How do I know that, like, if I'm acting in a way that's going to be holding me accountable? I think it's just so, there's so many layers to it. And I, you know, completely agree in the importance of it.
I'm going to go ahead and answer my own musing to your stories. I was wondering how it always seems like it works out when we start to let go of things. And when I think about it, especially in reflection, your story talking when you talked with Eden, was her name?
Eden, yeah.
Yeah, when you had that conversation with Eden, I think one of the reasons that it ends up working out so well is that when you let go of everything, what is left and what is going to be there are your values. And when you had that conversation with Eden, all four of your values were on display in spades on that one. I mean, it takes full honesty. You just let the mess of your life be the mess of what you wanted to say, and you just got it out. It took incredible courage just to do that, to go have the meeting where you're like, I'm not even sure if I'm going to have this meeting. Courage to get there, hard work to get through that, decide, you know what, I had this idea in the script that I was going to go move to Colorado and be a ski bum on this for a few months. I'll figure it out after that. You had the determination to change that and just the love of the product to go reinvest into this. I mean, all four were suddenly there because you'd let go of everything that wasn't that. And maybe that is why it ends up working out so often when we do let go, because no matter what we let go of, those core values are really truly there. And that's why it's so helpful to know our core values, because that way we can start to guide from there. But when we do let go, that's what's kind of guiding us anyway. And I think that's a fascinating aspect of your story, just how heavily on display all of those values that you explained very well were in that very pivotal moment of getting back into Oslo.
I've never made that connection before personally. So, and all the reflections that I've been doing on it. So I really appreciate you saying that. And I think your point of, if you release and give yourself permission and all that's left is your values, I love that. I love that idea and that premise, because it's, I think that is what core values are. Like, it's your core. It's you're not, there's no just engineering around it. It's all just put on display. And, you know, now I'm running through all these other times of pivotal moments and like realizing the consistent theme of that really being what was I led with in order to allow for these positive outcomes to come.
And it's a great way to actually figure out what the core values are. So do the reverse exercise. What moments that I let go, and whatever I had been looking for or whatever script I created was put on its head, and I get exactly what I wanted and what I had been looking for. And so what led to that? How did I show up? And that's the core values. So from a company perspective, as a human, what I really love about that is the fact that if you do the work as a company to figure out the values and not just define and put them on a poster, put some, you know, standard words around them, make them all pretty, but figure out, like, how do we live by these every single day, every single person in the company? How do we hold ourselves accountable, like you said, when we go off? Because we're humans. And so as the company and as humans, we're not always, you know, even if honesty is one of my values, I'm not going to be 100% honest all the time. It's just the way it is. Whether it's a white lie or not, it's just not going to happen. And so how do I hold myself accountable, and how do others hold me accountable when they notice that we did not act according to our values? And so that's when you can realize, hey, is this client the right fit? Oh, it seemed like the right fit when we went through the sales process and it's turning out not to be. Okay, as a company, there's a decision to be made. Go back to your values. That's how you make that decision. You can keep the client and set boundaries based on your values, or you can walk away depending on how much they've been challenged. When a project goes south, when there's a pandemic, go back to your values and figure out what you're going to do as a company. That's your answer. It's like you said, you shed everything else and you let it go. Your answer is right there, staring at your face. And I'm not passionate about values at all.
I felt it. Like we all took a moment to just absorb what came through the screen there. I think it's so powerful. And just, it's from a personal standpoint, from a company standpoint, if you're failing or sputtering or just feel like you're not making progress in certain areas, it's just take a pause. What am I doing? Am I living by my value, right? Like, it's such an easy way to like find that compass to point you back to the direction you want to go. And then from a, like you said, from a, even both standpoints of a decision-making process, like how much easier can it get to make a decision? It's like, does it go against any of these things that we hold so valuable, our values? Like, it's so powerful. And thinking about the companies that I admire and really look up to and try to emulate, from what I can tell, that's where they've really kind of figured it out and understand that's every step of the way we're leading in this way.
It's a fascinating conversation. And thank you so much for joining us, Sam. I'm pretty sure we could talk about this for another 4 hours and likely will over some tequila at some point with a mixer to be named.
Yeah, to be named later. Fill in the blank. It only costs X amount of dollars. Yeah.
It's really good. Go buy it.
But one thing we love to ask people, and you've done a great job of eliminating a lot of this already, but just if you have kind of a summarized version almost, we love to ask everybody what your definition of authenticity is, what that means to you.
You guys are challenging me with the summarized version. I think you know I could pontificate on this for a long time.
It's not three words all, but you can go on for a while.
Yeah. I think authenticity is, in the simplest form, being your true self. And to go off of a lot of what we talked about, not feeling like you need to put up a front and not putting up a front and not pretending and being torn down to whatever's left, which is the core values as we discussed. But I think it's just in the simplest form, being your true self and being okay with being your true self is the point I would add at the end.
Very great summary.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you. You challenge me. I try to rise to the challenge when I can. This is a lot of fun. And like you said, we probably will do parts 2, 3, 4, and 5 over some tequila in Oslo for too long.
Yes, which definitely
brings us to
so
the
where
point
can people find you?
Times.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. That brings us to our other point. Where do people find you?
Where do people find you?
So I would love if as many people as possible could follow the Oslo Instagram account. It's at Drink Oslo, and Oslo spelled H-A-Z-L-O. I also do some personal things on LinkedIn as well as Instagram. I think how we started having these conversations was we connected over LinkedIn. And so that's a great way to find me. If you type in Oslo on LinkedIn, there's only one employee, it's yours truly. So you'll find me really easily that way. And then on Instagram, I'm do_smore. S-more was my initials. Nickname in high school was S'mores. So we tried to include that. But Oslo, and I'm going to finish with this because we talked about it pre-recording and decided didn't put it in. But Oslo is the command form of hacer. It's a Spanish word that means do it. So very action-oriented, very very much you can probably now reflect on the things I've been talking about and why that word means so much to me and why it became the name of my company. But yeah, Oslo on Instagram, LinkedIn, or elsewhere, but those are probably the best places to find me.
Well, I love the explanation. I was about to ask you, so you beat me to it. Of what Oslo means. And I just...
Same wavelength.
Yes.
It only took us an hour and we're grooving. We're in the flow state.
I think it only took us about a minute in the first conversation, but sure.
That's fair.
2 hours plus a minute. And yep. But yeah, it's awesome. I love the name. I mean, clearly given our company's name being Italian, that means something that really resonates with us. And probably our biggest core value is we are... Finding that you did the same thing. You found a name that means exactly the core of what the company is, the human. It's the human.
Well, I think in these next parts, I'll talk about discovering that word and the origin story of it all, because that in and of itself is another one. But I feel like I've talked enough, guys. So
part two.
Oh, we'll leave that as a teaser for part two.
Yeah, yes. There we go. I love it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sam. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. We'll do this again soon.
Thank you for listening to Uncover the Human, a Siamo podcast.
Special thanks to our podcast operations wizard, Jake Lara, and our score creator, Rachel Sherwood.
If you have enjoyed this episode, please share, review, and subscribe. You can find our episodes wherever you listen to podcasts.
We would love to hear from you with feedback, topic ideas, or questions. You can reach us at podcast@wearecmo.com or at our website, wearecmo.com, LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. We Are CMO is spelled WEARESIAMO.
Until next time, listen to yourself, listen to others, and always uncover the human.